100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew. We are live this New Year's Eve, taking your calls 877-655-6755. Right now, we've got wide open lines, and that means plenty of room for you to get in with your question tonight. If you've got a question about a scripture passage, maybe you're bringing in the new year tomorrow and, you've got some unsettled issues in your life, a problem going on in your marriage, with your kids, in your church, whatever it might be, you're looking for that grace-based perspective. Well, my friend, that is exactly why we're here tonight on New Year's Eve for the next half hour for you. So go for it. We are live, four open lines right now, a rare opportunity for you to get in with your question tonight. Maybe it's that scripture passage that's been bothering you. You heard something in church recently or chatting with a friend in a Bible study, and you're still scratching your head wondering about it. Let's make it a conversation together tonight, right now, right here, 877-655-6755. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, you got to know we love it. We love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called in the past, but it's been a month or two, it's been a while, you've got something new on your mind tonight, by all means, join us as well. Again, that number, 877-655-6755. We've still got a couple of open lines, lots of room right now this New Year's Eve. Join the conversation with your question or personal concern, whatever it might be. Go for it. Give us a call. It's toll-free across Canada and the United States, 877-655-6755. Well, Happy New Year, everyone. I'm so glad you've joined in with us tonight. We've got a lot to talk about in the new year. We celebrate a new covenant, don't we? And this new covenant means that there's a brand new identity for us as children of God. You've got a new heart, a new spirit, and God's Spirit living in you. What a way to bring in the new year, recognizing your newness in Jesus Christ. The new covenant also means that you've got a new form of forgiveness, not like that Old Testament forgiveness, not little by little, not year by year, not sin by sin or sacrifice by sacrifice. Nope, you have once for all forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That's that new kind of forgiveness that you now enjoy in the new covenant. So as we bring in this new year, there's lots of new things to truly celebrate. You got a newfound freedom in Christ, freedom from the law and freedom from sin. So much that we can recognize about what Jesus has done for us, to not be under law, but be under grace, motivated from the heart to wake up every day, learn who you are and be yourself. Are you kidding me? Is that really the Christian life? I don't have to be somebody else. I don't have to pretend, put on a mask, put a fresh coat of gloss on that mask every day and just to hope and pray that I make it through, faking it till I make it. No, the reality is we get to be authentic and genuine. We get to be real because we're living in Christ as new creations, a new heart, a new spirit, a newfound freedom, a new kind of forgiveness, all kinds of new motivation. And this is what we can focus on going into a new year. Isn't Jesus amazing? Well, for our first call of the evening, we're going to go out to Michigan, and we'll talk with Travis. Hey, Travis.
Hey, Happy New Year, Pastor Andrew. Thanks for taking my call. It's good to talk to you guys.
Happy New Year. What do you got for us, Travis?
Well, you know, time and time again, we've heard the church say that pastors and teachers will be held to a higher standard and be judged more strictly by God. And I believe they use the passage out of James 3 as far as the scripture behind that. But based off, you know, your teachings, which I'm a huge fan of, those that are in Christ will not face the judgment. So is that scripture referring to people that will be judging those teachers and pastors or condemning them, so to speak?
Yeah. Yeah, great question, Travis. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense, right? Out of the left side of our mouths, we say no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We say God's perfect love casts out our fear. Fear involves punishment. The one who fears punishment is not perfected in God's love. So, hey, Christian, we got to know there's no punishment and no condemnation. And Jesus said, he who believes in me is not judged. And then 5 minutes later, out of the right side of our mouths, we say, but now not many of you should be teachers, because if you're a teacher, you're going to incur a stricter judgment from God. Well, wait a minute. 5 minutes ago, out of the other side of your mouth, you told me there's no condemnation for anybody in Christ. You told me there's no punishment. You told me that I wouldn't be judged as a believer. Now you're scaring me to death. Maybe God's going to judge me more strictly if I start teaching something? Well, that's not at all what James 3 means. Here we are in the first verse of this chapter. It says, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. Well, who is it that judges teachers more strictly? Well, it's the public. It's the audience. It's the congregation. It's other people. I mean, just think about it. Scandal after scandal, and people pointing their fingers at those who've done wrongly, whether they're right or wrong, and pointing their finger at some sort of sin or what they believe is a sin. The bottom line is people who teach are more in the light. They're seen, they're heard regularly, and they're held, whether we like it or not, they're held to some sort of standard by other human beings. And so James is just giving people a bit of godly wisdom here. Be careful. I mean, be sound-minded. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, and recognize that if you start opening your mouth talking about Jesus all the time, then there are going to be people who hold you to their own standard of what they believe you ought to be. And so the average run-of-the-mill Christian who's in Christ and is holy and righteous and blameless and totally forgiven, but they're not proclaiming a message loudly, well, they're not going to be judged by the public in the same way that a preacher or a teacher or an evangelist or whatever, someone who's a communicator, is going to be judged more strictly by other people. So to answer your question, yes, this is all about judgment from other people, not from God. The gospel still stands. What would God judge you for? Your sins, right? Well, what did he do with your sins? He took them away. He removed them as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. And so if he keeps no record of your wrongs, how could you incur a stricter judgment from God if God keeps no record? How could you incur a stricter judgment from God if there's no condemnation for those in Christ? How could you incur a stricter judgment from God if he's already removed your sins completely? And again, he has chosen to remember them no more. So it's clear as day, Travis, we got to keep the finished work of Jesus Christ in focus and understand that what James is talking about here is the inevitable judgment of other people. Thanks, Travis. Call us back anytime. Happy New Year, my friend. All right, let's go to McKinney, Texas now, and we'll talk with Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Pastor Andrew, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year to you, too. My question is, and this is something I've struggled with for years. Let's see now, 30-some-odd years already. I've been a Christian for a long time.
Yeah.
But there's certain struggles that I deal with on a daily basis. For that long, did I still have no victory over?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, to what point does that make me a Christian? Because I struggle with these things on a daily basis.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Yeah, I hear you. Well, join the club, Steve. I mean, you know, we just read James chapter 3, verse 1. Let's read verse 2. By coincidence here, it perfectly fits. Here's verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault, or another translation says, anyone who does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. So what's James saying? We all stumble, just like you've admitted. We all fail. We all fall and get back up and trust God's grace all over again and so on and so forth. So that's not an indication of whether you're truly a Christian or not. In fact, I would say the presence of a struggle, get this now, the presence of a struggle is evidence that you're in Christ. If you sinned and didn't care, if you sinned and thought, wow, that's awesome, I can't wait to do that again, I've got no problem with it, well, then that would be a red flag of concern. But the very fact that you're calling into a Christian radio program, concerned about your attitudes and actions, concerned about your performance, wondering, you know, about the conflict that is within you, all of that is a good sign, not a bad sign. The unbeliever, well, they sin just fine, and they're totally cool with it. Here you are, completely conflicted about it, and that's because Christ lives in you. And by the way, that's the test, right? Paul says, how do we know we're saved? Well, he gives this test. Does Christ live in you? Unless you fail the test. And we find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? He doesn't say, here's the test. How'd you do on Monday? Here's the test. How was your performance on Tuesday? Here's the test. How many times you been to church lately? Here's the test. Have you been cussing lately? Here's the test. Have you been reading your Bible or giving to missions lately? That's not the test. Nothing like that. It is a simple question. Does Jesus Christ live in you? And so we're saved by grace through faith. And when we open the door of our lives to him, he says he promises to come in and live with us forever. By the way, he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He doesn't say, now, if you stumble too much in the same sin, I'm out of here, man. I'm done with you. No, he says the opposite. Even when you are faithless, he remains faithful. Nothing separates us from the love of Christ. Wow, that's the truth of the gospel. Hebrews says he is able to save you completely because he always lives to intercede for you. So I would say this, Steve, that if there was ever a moment where you called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, if there was ever a moment that you understood the gospel and by faith said, Jesus, I want you to save me. I want you to live inside of me and transform me from the inside out. Well, guess what? He never left. He never ditched you. He never abandoned you. And he's certainly not frustrated with your performance. God already saw all of your sins, past, present, and future, and he decided to send Jesus Christ to die for those sins, to take away those sins, and he keeps no record of those sins. So it sounds like to me your New Year's resolution, so to speak, might need to be celebrating God's grace even bigger. Celebrate God's grace to the max. You can't celebrate it too much. And when you, by faith, say, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for making me forgiven and cleansed and righteous and holy and blameless by what you did, not by what I do, that is what God desires. The Bible speaks of our faith pleasing God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, faith says thank you. That's what faith does. It says thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for all you've provided. So I would encourage you, my friend, yeah, the enemy, the accuser is going to say, look at last week and look at last month and look at this year. And oh boy, you really dropped the ball. And, you know, COVID came in and you got frustrated and you got upset and you lashed out at people and your performance is not that good and you got angry and you got, and you fill in the blank there with whatever the accusations are. And the enemy wants you to focus on how you've been doing. But the gospel is not about how you're doing. It's about what Jesus did. And you're invited to rest in his finished work. So I want to put you back on, Steve. I want to see if that encourages you. I want to see if that helps, my friend.
It absolutely does. It's making me more aware, not that I haven't been aware my whole Christian life, that most of the time I'm expecting myself to have some to pay for my sins. You know what I mean? And that's probably a common thing amongst Christians, to be honest.
Oh, yes, Steve, absolutely. I hope everybody heard that. We're expecting to pay. Oh, yeah, we'll sing songs about how Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Oh, yeah, we'll worship on a Sunday morning and shout and amen to the idea that Jesus hung on a cross, that he took away our sins. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Oh, yeah, we'll amen all of that. The problem is, an hour later, we're in the parking lot, and we think a dirty thought or say something nasty or whatever, and we decide, wow, I'm going to have to pay for that one. God's going to get me. God must be frustrated. He must be angry. He must be looking down at me with a furrowed brow, just disgusted. But you know what disgusts God? Sin. You know what he did with your sin? He took it away. You know what makes God angry? Sins. God gets angry at sins, but he took our sins away. God judges sins, but he took our sins away. And so when we recognize that, we start doing the math. That's what I say. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died. Do the math and celebrate. There are no more wages. He paid it all. So, sure, there's earthly consequences. Look, if you go 100 miles an hour, you're going to get a speeding ticket. If you scream at your wife, you might make her angry. You might fracture the relationship. You might even end in divorce. Well, there's earthly consequences for spouses and kids and citizens and relatives. There's all kinds of earthly consequences. But thank God we don't have spiritual consequences for our sins, because if we did, the wages of sin would be death for us, nothing less, not a slap on the hand, not God ticked off for 10 minutes. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died. He paid the wages in full. Do the math and celebrate. Steve, thanks for your call tonight. Happy New Year, my friend. Great to hear from you. Call us back anytime. All right, let's go to Canada now. We'll talk with Io. Hey, Io.
Brother Andrew, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, what a pleasure. I'm blessed. Just like, honestly, I don't even know where to start. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful for your ministry. As a matter of fact, I'm like, okay, this is the last thing I'm going to give for the year end. My brothers, thank you. Thank you. I can't wait for them to open the border again so they can come minister to us in Canada.
Oh,
so
yes.
That would be a great thing.
Yes, yes. Well, Io, you're up there listening in on WDCX in Toronto. You know, we got Buffalo, New York listening, and Rochester and Toronto. A big hello to everybody up there. Happy New Year to the North and our friends up there. And you're right, Io, we can't wait to get back up there. We did a conference in your area. Then COVID hit. They shut the border. We haven't been able to get up there. But believe you me, we are going to do whatever we can to get back there and do a conference really soon. I had a blast. It's always great to hear from you. It was great to see you back then. Hope I get to see you again soon. And you mentioned supporting the ministry. I haven't said a word about it tonight at all. Here we are on the eve of year end. I need to say something. We're trying to reach our goal, and we're just hours away now, and you can get this matching grant to be a maximum benefit for the ministry. We're trying to raise $87,000 to match this grant to the fullest so that we can go into 2021 strong and stable and able to reach even more people with the love and grace of God. So if you want to help us do that, go to our website at andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Click on the donate tab there. It takes a couple of minutes. You could do it on your phone. You can do it from your computer. It takes a couple of minutes to give your gift to help us go into the new year strong. Again, that website, andrewfarley.org. Help us take maximum benefit here in terms of this matching grant. We had generous donors come forward. They double your gift. If you give 100, they give 100 more. That makes it 200. If you give 1,000, they give 1,000 more, making it 2,000. So it's a pretty incredible opportunity for our ministry as we're looking at new stations and new web platforms and new opportunities in the new year to reach even more people. Go to our website, give your gift tonight at andrewfarley.org. All right, let's go to Texas now, and we'll talk with Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Pastor Farley. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
Yeah, funny you just mentioned the matching donation. I was going to mention it when I came on because my wife and I are going to take advantage of that this evening as well because it's such your blessing has been – you're welcome. Your blessing has been such a – your ministry has been such a blessing to us that it's just – anything we can do to help is we feel grateful and you know, matching donation is always a great thing to take care to take advantage of.
Thank you.
And I pray you're welcome. I pray that you meet that goal. And the reason I'm calling is because of prayer.
Okay.
Also, I said Chris from Texas because that's what I've always called under. But yeah. My wife and I, we moved to Western North Carolina, so I'll start saying that now that I've clarified.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we moved to the Blue Ridge Mountains. You know,
beautiful.
different four seasons. Yeah. So I've been struggling with prayer for a while in the sense that, you know, I've called before and I've shared with you I struggle with PTSD and anxiety disorder and sometimes that manifests itself in OCD behaviors. And when I pray, like I'm part of the prayer line and the men's prayer group, and I just feel like my prayers have become very almost scripted because in order to for my OCD and whatever. It's like, oh, I better say this and I better say that. Oh, this person has this problem or this condition or this issue. I better say this. And I don't know. It's just starting to feel like it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, you know, it's going to come down to your belief system and making some hard choices. I mean, you're fighting against patterns of thinking. You know what I'm talking about. You know, we get into a mode of hand washing. Some people do, for example, and they wash their hands 25 times a day. And if it's been an hour and they haven't washed their hands, then they feel dirty and they must go do it in order to get a sense of relief. And when they go do it and come back from that, they have then programmed themselves even further to have permission now to feel okay about me. Because I did that, what the obsessive thinking called me to do, I did it, so now I have the right to feel better. And so it's a subtle form of programming, and we affirm it each time we do it. So I would just encourage you to practice the art of not doing it. Practice the art of being unique. Make it your decision to be creative and be yourself and be real and be relaxed and be informal in prayer and talk to Dad like he's your dad because he is. And you can then give up your right to say it a certain way, be willing to say it differently. Even when you get the thought, count yourself dead to that thought and just be real with Dad.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.